Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. That's F-I-S-S-I-O-N, because we're now living in the Age of Fission. I say post-Fukushima. Thomas Ackerman says post-World War II. And that brings us to today, Memorial Day, May 30th, 2016. We have on our as a guest today Wendy Lumetta, who lives in St. Louis. As you know, on Mondays I report on St. Louis, and I make every effort I can to have somebody who lives there give us their firsthand account. And Wendy has been very, very kind with our show and is willing to come on very frequently. Many of you will recognize her and actually enjoy her commentary. So thank you for joining us, Wendy. We really appreciate your time today.
Lonnie, thank you so much for having me again. It's always a pleasure, and your kind, caring, and consideration and love for the people of St. Louis is not going unnoticed. We definitely notice. We definitely think you're a wonderful person for highlighting this issue, and I really just thank and appreciate you for all of the attention that you have brought to the issue.
Well, thank you for those kind words, but you know what, in my view, it is all of our responsibility. We are all St. Louis. We're Americans. This, what's going on with you, was paid for with our tax dollars. It's been ignored with our tax dollars. It's been pushed aside by our elected officials. So I really believe it's our responsibility to face it, because until we face the legacy of World War II, this is why today, Memorial Day, is such an important day for at least my show, because a lot of what happened, as Thomas Ackerman has suggested to me, the Age of Fission started when they split the atom, when they knew what they were doing, and really decided to just start using it. You know what I mean? The insanity of it all. And this is what we're faced with. Memorial Day, for me, covering the story of St. Louis, really has a greater meaning now, because St. Louis really is, the people of St. Louis are victims of World War II. And just
that's
like
exactly
the,
right.
And the victims of Richland. And what our government is doing is denying it. You know,
yeah.
I
go ahead.
Well, I think that we cannot heal as a nation until we accept all the legacy of World War II. Everything that happened, and then we can figure out solutions.
Absolutely. Admitting is the first step, and I think it's really important that our elected officials be the ones that admit it, because they seem to be the roadblocks between admission and accountability. So as much as I would like for them to admit it, I also want them to be accountable, and I want them to clean up my hometown. That's what it boils down to. I'm not personally looking for any financial gain or or anything personally. What I want is for them to get their nuclear pollution out of the place where people live in my hometown. And I feel it is their obligation, their professional obligation, and also their moral obligation. I don't see how someone could, in good conscience, leave things that they know to be harmful to children and women and fetuses, and they just let it go. And that, to me, is what is unconscionable. We really need to hold the federal and state and local governments all accountable. They all knew about it. So I really think that step by step, St. Louis is taking more active approaches to accountability through their government. And it seems like certainly more people are involved now than have been. I've been involved with this issue now since 2013. So I think probably in the last year since the school notices went out and more people became aware that way. The mainstream media in St. Louis really doesn't help, because they try to minimize the effects, or they just plain won't report on it, or it's not just coincidental that we're a sports team. It seems like whenever something happens with regards to the nuclear sites, then they say, well, hey, how about those Cardinals, or how about the Blues, or,
wow,
or whatever. So it really does seem to be a purposeful distraction. And, you know, I don't have anything to say that that's what is happening. That's just my opinion. But it certainly seems coincidental that that this is happening in a place where people who maybe, if they don't really want to think about nuclear, or they don't want to think about something sad or you know, potentially not a happy subject, then they're more than happy to revert to something mindless and you know, and just talk about sports because it's easier that way. So,
or like my niece told me, Wendy, my niece said, it doesn't matter. Like, really? It doesn't matter. Like, what can they do about it? Like, so why should I even pay attention to it? But, you know, I mean, I get it, because they get it. This is why people tend to, I think, to turn off, because the harm that is perpetrated, I mean, is so deep that it takes years and years of remediation. It's not just going to be a 1 or 2 year project. This is going to be a long-term project. And I think the youth or the people that turn off don't believe the government will do it a long-term project.
Well, the government certainly hasn't given them any reason to be confident in their ability to do it.
Yeah.
Part of the problem, as you know, with the St. Louis area is that two polluted areas are handled by two separate federal agencies. Well, that is actually the very definition of bad government, because you don't want duplication of services within your government. And besides that, one organization is actually cleaning it up and taking it away, while the other organization has done literally decades of study after study after,
wow,
study after study. And really, as far as meaningful action, I can't say that I've seen any. If you ask them, they will certainly tell you, oh, yes, we've been studying really hard. We've been ordering even more studies. But the one thing that they haven't done is the appropriate studies. They haven't characterized sites properly, not even sites, but the areas around the site, because now it turns out that there's more nuclear pollution in areas where they haven't looked before. Not because nobody thought that it wasn't there, but because there was no legal obligation for them to test outside of where they had previously tested. So it literally took the action of many people to be involved in this situation, to go over documents, to look over the information, decades worth of information, to see where the government has failed us. And
wow.
Certainly it's a group effort. Lots of people have, you know, everyone seems to be adding their own part of information that is, all of them are vital and critical to the overall picture of St. Louis. But the bottom line is that one of our sites is getting cleaned up and the other one isn't, and that's not okay.
Wow.
And so everyone needs to do all they can to to help the government. You know, I kind of don't really buy it when people say, well, you know, what can I do? I'm only one person. Well, I'm only one person too. And I have met with my elected seats, my local elected seats. I have made phone calls. I've written letters to the editor. I have done a number of things. So for anyone to say they're just one person, what can they do? My suggestion would be do all those things first, and then maybe you'll feel more empowered to figure out what else you can do.
How many people are in the area do you think are affected? I mean, how many people do you think you live there, but that are near the sites? Because we've heard, you know, I'm in Oregon, and my information comes from very poor sources, which is mainstream media most of the time on this. So how many people do you think are living in your area? Do you guys know what the population is of both combined Westlake and Coldwater Creek? Those populations, because they're pretty close when we look at them on a map. And if you just look at how the drainage, the likelihood is they bleed into each other from one side to the other, correct, in terms of contamination?
Well, certainly if you're kind of looking at it in the short version of it, then that would be true. I do need to make just one clarification that I haven't said before, and that is that I don't actually live in St. Louis anymore. I live just outside of St. Louis to the west in the next county over called St. Charles County, which is on the other side of the Missouri River, and it is also a nuclear legacy site because we have Walden Spring in St. Charles County, which has, I don't remember if it's a 1 million or 1.5 million cubic yards of nuclear waste that is entombed in a massive tomb, and it's actually the highest point in elevation in St. Charles County. It's the highest point in elevation, so it's like it's the top mountain of the county that I live in. It's a big nuclear dump, and
it's called Weldon.
So it's called Weldon Spring, and it's actually where the Army used to go and play Army. And they also did some uranium work there also. And they also dealt with chemicals, Army chemicals like DMT and TNT and some others that I'm not familiar with off the top of my head, except that it's well known that this site is very polluted. And part of the story from the first Secret City includes, which is a documentary on nuclear pollution.
I'm trying to get it shown here in town.
Don't give up. Working on it because it's definitely worth seeing. It could be just some distributor, you know, issues or something. I don't know what. But at any rate, they do talk about Weldon Spring in that. And it's not, we say how many people are impacted. It depends on just how far you want to go with how far the nuclear pollution has been spread. It's over in Illinois.
Wikipedia says. The site was originally operated by the Atlas Powder Company during World War II, again, a World War II legacy from 1941 to 1945 to produce explosives. The Atomic Energy Commission acquired part of the property in 1955, and Mallinckrodt processed uranium ore from 1957 to 66 under contract. This is what we were talking about. St. Louis is part of the legacy of World War II. So is Richland. And for us to have Memorial Day without honoring the people of St. Louis and even Richland, Washington, and up there near Hanford, where people are dying and the government is denying it, I think in order for us to have a really Memorial Day with honor is to acknowledge the harm that has happened and to acknowledge our responsibility to take care of these things. You know, the soldiers, think of all the atomic veterans who basically have had no respect, no honor, no Memorial Day, no wreath, nothing for them standing there in the middle of the desert and getting blasted so that they could go back and the Army doctors could document how they died.
It is horrible to think about. I not only that, but they probably had no indication and were not properly instructed on the fact that this could have impacts on their, not could, but most likely will have impacts, negative health impacts of their future generations. So perhaps these Army people may not have been so willing to do these experiments had they known that this is effectually going to, erase their family history. So it's really a huge tragedy, something that the government absolutely needs to be held accountable for. I don't know how to accomplish that part of it. It seems like a lot of people have worked on different parts of getting resolutions passed and getting bills that have gone through the Senate, and now they're hung up in the House committee. And then how do we get it out of the House committee?
Is that bill still the 4100, the one that will move the management from the EPA to the Army Corps of Engineers? Is it still stuck in committee? Did they not pass it? They just voted on the energy and water bill. So that little rat Pallone, you know what's going to happen? This is what I realized when I was watching C-SPAN to see if it came up. This is what a nerd I am. While I was working, I was watching C-SPAN while they were passing it and talking about all the amendments, and I didn't hear that one. And I thought, you know what I'll bet you they'll do? They'll pass it. They know they have to pass it. They'll put it in next year's water bill. It's there. It's going to pass next year, but they're going to make people beg. And this guy's going to push back. We have to really push. We have to contact every congressman, every single person on that committee and say, this is outrageous. I mean, let them, he has to be peer pressured into passing that bill because his wife works for the EPA. So he's doing the EPA a big favor of not losing face. That's what it's about.
Well, before we go too far into Pallone, let me also say that as the minority leader, he does not have the ability to put this issue on the calendar for the Energy and Commerce Committee. The person that has the ability to do that is a man named Chairman Upton, and I have his telephone number here. His telephone number is 202-225-2927. And before Frank Pallone can
2957.
I'm sorry. I'll repeat it. It's Chairman Upton, who is the majority leader of the Energy and Commerce Committee, which is where HB 4100 is stuck. And Chairman Upton's telephone number is 202-225-2927. So you mentioned Frank Pallone, who is the minority leader, but he does not have the ability to put this issue on the calendar. Now, I spoke with both of these offices last week, and they tell me that what they are waiting on is a response to a formal letter that they have sent to the Army Corps of Engineers with a list of inquiries. Well, I have called their offices and encouraged them to please pass 4100 without waiting for a response from the Army Corps of Engineers. The Army Corps of Engineers has already been working with the EPA on the Westlake landfill issue. They have already been discussing for a number of years, I believe, the feasibility of a wall protecting the radioactive waste from the approaching fire. And so this Chairman Upton is really the next person in the link to say, we can't wait for this to be discussed through your committee. We need for you to put it on the calendar immediately. I asked the staff in his office what the last action was that the Energy and Commerce Committee had done, and they said that they had reviewed information on safety of childhood football helmets because of childhood concussions. And so I questioned that because I said, well, isn't this an Energy and Commerce Committee? Because childhood football helmets, I don't understand what that has to do with energy or commerce. And they said, well, this is actually the subcommittee and they also review health information. So I said, well, if you review health information, then please look at the data regarding health in the area, go to the DHSS and find out what is happening in the area, and then please put this on your calendar immediately. Don't wait for a formal response. You need to put it on the calendar now, and then you can get the response later. But this HB 4100 needs to go through. And again, I feel a little bit like a broken record because I make these phone calls daily. I call these offices every day. And so I know that there are some people out there that are as equally as dedicated as I am. And then maybe some people that, like you said in the beginning of the show, maybe they feel like they're only one person and what can they do? Well, here's what they could do. Call Chairman Upton and ask him to put HB 4100 on the calendar for the Energy and Commerce Committee. And I'll repeat that number one more time, 202-225-2927. And then after you speak to the majority, then the minority leader is Frank Pallone, and his number is 202-225-3641. So for anyone who has any questions about what they can do, starting tomorrow, they can call those two offices and ask them to put HB 4100 on the Energy and Commerce calendar without delay.
And they only meet once a month, right?
I'm not sure how often they meet.
I think I saw that on the website. They meet once a month because I talked to my congressman who happens to be on that committee. I think he was just exiting. That was his last month. He had gotten reassigned, but he said they meet once a month. And, you know, it is important. And I think we need that. Thank you for this is really great for you to have done that legwork and help us understand how our government works. And, you know, again, on Memorial Day, these are important issues that we really need to learn how to participate as citizens, because our soldiers have given up their lives. Right now, we have soldiers around the world whose lives are in danger. God knows why. But, you know, this is an ongoing issue. And in St. Louis, people's lives are being affected. Just last week, there was somebody posted, I did not know the child, the name was not heard. Somebody said a six-year-old child from our neighborhood passed away from cancer. While these committees refuse to bring it to the table because they're pro-nuclear, they're being paid money, big money, by the nuclear industry to just ignore it. We can no longer ignore this. We have to accept our responsibility with the nuclear waste.
I think that's the issue, is that we have to accept our responsibility. They are not going to change on their own, because what is happening is working for them just fine. It's hurting us.
Right.
So we to seek the empowerment. That's one thing that I like about your introduction and the message that you have is that knowledge is power. You need to be able to use that power. When you have the knowledge, there's no excuse. You need to become empowered. Don't be afraid. I like your statement about put your courage feet on, because that is too true. Sometimes the only thing stopping someone from being able to do what they feel is a responsible action is they're afraid of how it will be perceived. They're scared that they might sound foolish or uninformed or ignorant or who knows what.
Or that they are. It's kind of like me. I'm the same. I mean, it's funny because Kevin Blanch, I don't know if you follow him, but he had this idea of the post-ignorance project. Like, once you find out about something, you cannot unknow it. And that means you have a responsibility. We are all post-ignorant post-Fukushima. Fukushima rocked the world, not just rocked the environment. It rocked the world. It woke me up to go, wait a minute. And you know what we have been ignoring quite perfectly is the nuclear issue. And on Memorial Day, kind of interesting, it's time for us to remember. It's the Memorial Day. It is the day when we must remember how the world changed post-World War II. And guess what? The legacy of the harm it's causing is still going on. Ironically, the worst of it that the United States is doing is to its own people, like us.
I am more amazed all the time, the more that I study history, and my husband was a veteran, so I certainly have deep compassion and caring and love. Both of our fathers were also service members, and so there is nothing more important to me than the care that we take of our own people.
That's what they gave their lives for. That's what they gave their youth up for. They gave their innocence up for us to take care of the American people. I mean, let's be clear. We don't send old men to war. We send children. We send babies, 18, 19, 20, 22-year-old men to war. Yes, they're men. They're capable of handling it, but they come back scarred. No one goes to war the same and comes back the same. It haunts everyone. They don't all turn into like critical mass people. Men are strong. You know what I mean? They can handle it, but it does leave scars. This is why
Yeah,
it's so
there's no
important.
question.
It's important to honor them and honor the work, though, they did for us.
And the harm that they put themselves in. I read
Yes.
something yesterday that I was a little bit confused about. Someone said, you know, just because someone is in the army doesn't mean that they deserve a gold star. Well, I disagree with that very much, and let me tell you why. Every single person that has ever been in the military, or for that matter, has ever been a officer of the law or a firefighter, they have essentially signed a blank check up to and including their life for the work that they're going to do every single day. So I don't think that they don't deserve a gold star. I think every one of them should at least have that, because they go into it not knowing what's going to come out on the other end, and they do it anyway, and they do it bravely, and they do it without any expectation of you know, heroic notoriety or anything. In
You know
fact, as
what,
you know,
Wendy?
most people.
I think I agree with you, but I think what those sentiments come from is the new standards that we now have in the military where we let criminals come in. I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, they're letting people that are criminals in the service. You used to have an IQ test. You had to be worthy of coming into our country. And this is the interesting thing. They've changed the standards. Our government has really demeaned every aspect of what it means to be an American. I'll just be honest. This is why we're having separate sets of conversations between young people who read the current laws and those of us who grew up when there was actually standards of expectations. So I've had that conversation with people, and I'm like, look, what happens? And this is how I feel. Like, even if they let the criminals in, they do hold them to a higher standard, man. It's still not easy to be in the service. It's still a hard job to break you in to get into that. It's hard. You have to be willing to submit to whatever it is. I mean, you're signing your life away. They tell you to go into a war zone. Look what our soldiers from the USS Reagan did. They've got on a Do you know the USS Reagan is still too radioactive? The D Navy has determined they cannot decontaminate the USS Reagan, and yet at the same time, they're denying that the soldiers were harmed by radiation when they went over to Fukushima to help those young, the people in Fukushima.
Well, besides that, you know, we could really get into a conspiracy conversation because of the history of Pearl Harbor and how all of the aeronautical equipment was on deck when it was bombed. So one could say that the
Wow, I
situation
did
had been
not know
manipulated.
that.
So, well, my
You
husband
never.
actually really is very interested in nonfiction stories, and he reads quite a bit about war, particularly World War II. And there are plenty of reasons that the United States would have an impetus to do something like that to then excuse to allow themselves to be involved in the war. They can't really get involved in a war unless somebody makes an aggressive attack against them. So if they set up an aggressive attack and make it look like they didn't really mean for it to happen, well, now they have an excuse to go in and throw a couple of A-bombs on Japan. So again, this is probably an outlandish theory that, you know, maybe not everyone would accept, but it certainly, to me, is important enough to consider as a possibility.
Well, especially considering that they're still making billions of dollars. I mean, Mimi Gurman reported last week that up in Hanford, Washington State still gets $2 billion with a B dollars a year to remediate the waste, and they're basically messing up the job day after day after day under just like Mallinckrodt. Look what they're doing. Like, they keep saying, yeah, we're fixing it, and what are they doing? What is going on with the sites in St. Louis? Since, I mean, you kind of have a good oversight, could you share with us kind of an update if anything has changed, if anything is new there?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because for so long, for decades of my life, I'm 44 years old now, and I've lived in and around the area for 42 of those 44 years. And so for 40 of those years, I never knew the first thing about any of it. I had absolutely no idea that uranium was processed here. I had no idea what Mallinckrodt's role was in the war effort. I had absolutely no clue about Walden Spring because I ended up buying my house in St. Charles County. I don't think I would live out here had I known about the legacy of nuclear pollution when I bought my house. So, again, it's such a widespread issue. I believe that the majority of St. Louisans are unaware because in this age of social media, mainstream media just doesn't interest the kids anymore, let's just say. And while these issues are on social media is something that you can opt into or opt out of. So anyone that doesn't like what they're reading, they could just turn it off and they don't have to see it again.
Mm-hmm.
So it really takes someone who already has that mind of wanting to be a service to their community, not wanting to, you know, stand by. And I think young people in particular, you know, if they have already had a lifestyle of at least with me, I came from a religious upbringing, so I was rather hidden from a lot of things. I'll just say when I was a kid, my parents didn't really want to expose me to the bad stuff, if you will. And so I really did have sort of that idyllic, you know, childhood where I thought everything was, you know, A-okay and hunky-dory because if it wasn't, I would know about it. And so just to find out about these things now that social media has come into play has really, I think, done a couple of things. It has activated a lot more people. A lot more people feel informed, definitely, about it. But there's still so much more left to do. The people that have children in, you know, one of the five school districts that received the notification regarding sheltering in place, those are only five school districts in the most sensitive areas. We should be having a St. Louis-wide school, you know, consensus that says that all school districts understand this and they're all going to have a plan.
Yeah, because where you're at, the schools in your area near Walden Springs no doubt have some type of a risk, correct?
Well, for sure that, but what I'm talking about now, though, is the, and I am kind of skipping around, I apologize, the emissions that are coming from the Westlake landfill and the five school districts put in that are the most geographically close to the area put in place the shelter-in-place letter for the parents, which caused a huge upset. And that's actually what got a lot more people activated to the cause because, you know, people said, hey, if something's going on, you're not going to keep my kid in school. I'm going to come get him and we're going to get out of here.
Yeah.
And that's actually just exactly my feeling. If I had a child, I wouldn't wait for them to get irradiated. I would get the heck out of that before you know it. But
there's no way that nobody would hold my child. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. That's it. Really, it would be ugly real fast, and people would be, it would be, you know, just crazy before you know it. But so I really think that that is the reason why electeds and other responsible people have not made it a St. Louis-wide issue, frankly, because they don't want to instill fear in people. They feel as though this is just something that might happen instead of something that is actively happening. They're downplaying the risks. They are not being up front when it comes to what they've tested and what they're finding, and even more important than what they're testing is what they're not testing. You know, there's so many chemicals. There have been no comprehensive studies regarding the synergistic effects of these chemicals and what they do when they're combined with one another. I don't think it's good. I'm no scientist. I'm not a chemist or an expert in any way, but I know enough not to combine, say, cleaning chemicals or put bleach into anything because it causes fumes that make people sick. So I don't think that you have to be an expert to be able to understand the critical harm that's taking place there. And because of my lack of official credentials regarding science, I really couldn't say how many people are being affected directly by the actual toxic emissions. So there's a couple, there's a few different issues. And you know, one is the radioactive waste, and then the second is the chemical and other wastes and whatnot. And the third issue is the fire, of course, as you know, that's approaching on it. But besides that, because the site at Westlake Landfill had never been appropriately characterized, now that the fire is taking place and this leachate, the toxic fluid that is coming out of the bottom of it and then being piped down through the Metropolitan Sewer District pipes into water that ends up being upstream from drinking water for all of St. Louis.
Could you say that again? Would you repeat that?
Yes. The leachate, which is the toxic fluid that comes out of the bottom of the landfill, which is known to be radioactive and filled with all kinds of carcinogens and chemicals and all kinds of bad stuff, that is piped out of the landfill, which is a Superfund site under EPA authority, and it travels for miles through a pipe from the Metropolitan Sewer District, and it gets deposited into the water that is upstream for drinking water for all of St. Louis County. So, yes, it's a very, very serious issue.
Wendy, you just said that what they're doing is they're piping radioactively contaminated water along with other toxins and other chemicals that they haven't studied the interactions of and pouring it into the metropolitan drinking water for St. Louis.
You got it. That's absolutely correct, Lonnie.
And the elected officials in your city know that's going on.
Yes, they do. And one explanation that the EPA has provided is because the confluence of the Missouri and the Mississippi River have so much volume of water going through it that they feel that dilution is the solution to the pollution. That, you know, if you mix a little bit of cancer-causing material with a whole lot of water, well, then if you dip a glass out of that water, then the chances are you probably won't have the cancer-causing particles.
Are they completely... Like, Eve, it doesn't take – Helen Caldicott has a really great seminar on this one.
Absolutely.
They know that's a lie.
There's no question that it's a lie. And besides that, if it was anyone's child that was making that decision, would you want your child to dip their glass in that water? And yet there are people all over St. Louis that are doing it. Some are doing it willingly. Some have absolutely no idea what's happening to the water that's upstream from their drinking water. I know that one of the missions of Kay Dry, who has been kind of the godmother of the cause, has tried to get the people of Anheuser-Busch, which is now InBev, to understand that where they're intaking the water for their beer products is actually coming from a polluted river. So they are not interested in either acknowledging that issue or trying to make any corrections about it. It's pretty much all about the money. So that seems to be the overriding cause of non-cleanup that I can see. It seems that a lot of money has been dedicated to the cause in terms of PR and their travel and explaining things, but not enough has been done about the actual cleaning of the area, which is the only part that matters. I would be interested in receiving less information in a less timely way if the information that they were sending me was, we're cleaning it up. But instead, what the information is everything's safe. We have an extremely complex set of, papers to demonstrate that for you. And we also have a person that you're paying for who's going to also send out technical committee reports, and she's going to interpret our data into data that is more understandable for you. So they've already had the taxpayers pay for their middle person to communicate their information. So there's a lot of problems with that as well. I think they should be held directly accountable for the words that they use. And if the words that they're using aren't the appropriate verbiage or people are having a problem with that, then they need to take steps to maybe not use so many acronyms, maybe, you know, make the language a little bit easier to understand for people instead of purposely trying to complicate the issue and make it as difficult as possible for people to understand. It seems like that is really what the EPA has done. Again, I've talked to them so many times and questioned them on their testing methods and why they would, you know, test in some areas and not in others. And they just, they never have a reasonable excuse. I have no clue what rhyme or reason they are going from. They just,
well, their reason is they are not going to report on nuclear pollution. It's the 90% rule that is strictly in force, period.
Right.
Nobody deviates from it. They underreport the negative effects of radiation by 90% and deny radiation causes harm. That's the standard attitude in any nuclear situation across the industry, anywhere on the planet. And it's here in St. Louis, and it is an outrage. Wow. And my hands are shaking when I'm hearing about this water. I am not over the idea that they're just dumping radioactive contamination into the drinking water of St. Louis knowingly.
Well, I think I'm being kind when I call it polluted water. It's actually sludge, and they have to pre-treat it before they can even get it to go down the pipe. So I may have misstated by just calling it radioactive water, because that actually is an understatement. It's bad stuff. It's nasty, horrible stuff. And besides that, I'm really confused about the fact that they've been able to take this radioactive contaminated leachate. And
how many years have they been doing it? I beg your pardon.
No, that's fine. I want to say... See, I'm really bad with the numbers unless I have the documents right in front of me. I'm just kind of going to wing it and say since approximately 2014. And the reason for that is because the fire had already been burning for a period of time. And as it got bigger, it was creating more and more of this leachate. And what they had to do was actually pump it into trucks, and then the trucks had to move it away and dump it into the Missouri River upstream from the drinking water via a truck. Now they actually have a pipe that goes under
the
ground.
Wait a minute. Wait. Yeah. They were dumping it into the river anyways?
Yes, they were not burying
the sludge in a more clean sanitary plastic lined container for it to like decontaminate and decompose.
If you ask them, they'll say that it's really not that bad. But the fact of the matter is, it is, and we're not that gullible anymore. The problem is that it was costing the company money to truck it. It would cost gas money for the trucks to run. It would cost money to pump the leachate into the truck and then back out of the truck. And so that is when they conceived of the idea of having a pipe that runs under the ground where the leachate leaves the Superfund site where it is designated, and it travels via pipe under the ground through different municipalities for several miles until it hooks up with the water intake for the water treatment plant that provides the drinking water for St. Louis County. So it's actually been going on for quite a while, but I believe that the leachate pipe is something that has only been used, I'm going to say, for a couple years, and don't write that in stone or anything. I'd have to have the documents in front of me to be sure, but I'm going to go with that and say, yeah, that's pretty close to what has been going on.
Man, this is definitely like unpeeling an onion, and I'm really glad this is Memorial Day, because you know what? It really did start in World War II. It really did start when this holiday became, you know, when we really started looking at all of the really – all of the sacrifices that have been given by our soldiers and our nurses that have gone into the service. I mean, they have really, really worked hard and given everything for our country, for our Constitution, and for our people to help build a strong country. And I find that this is just such a lack of respect for our service people to do this to our own population. They have given up their lives. Well, now after 70 years after the World War II, the government is just willy-nilly poisoning its own population because it's cheaper, while our soldiers gave everything.
Which is why, as a citizen, I feel that it is my responsibility to make sure that what I do is continue to effort this cause. And believe me, it's not easy. It's really hard to get knocked down all the time, to be told no all the time, to be, you know, said, told we'll take a message and we'll take your name and number and then never hear back.
Well, not
But
only
when I
that,
think
Wendy, you've done an excellent job. Like, you researched this issue about Frank Pallone. Like, why the heck couldn't he get it out of committee? And actually, I spoke with Upton's committee when this first happened, and I kind of forgot about that. I did talk to him and Frank Pallone because they both were the two people. But Upton's office did not tell me that Pallone did not have the authority to bring it up.
Not that he didn't have the authority to bring it up, that he doesn't have the authority to put it on the calendar. Only Upton can put it on the calendar.
Is Upton preventing it from being on the calendar?
Upton, if it's not on the calendar, it's because Upton didn't put it on the calendar. So, you know, I'm certain that he knows. Now, it could be, you know, since Pallone is the minority leader, and as a Democrat, I'm pretty sure he probably is for it. you know, and is probably getting a fair amount of pressure from the, you know, people of St. Louis and the people that are wanting to effort this cause. But we are right smack in the middle of a hotly debated election year, and
The last thing
people
they want to talk about is nuclear pollution. That's for sure.
in Congress are not interested in working together. They are interested in defining the lines between them and sticking their toe to them. So it's really hard to get things done. That's why I was literally floored when it passed through Congress so quickly, when it passed through the Senate so quickly. I was so in awe of the people that came together on both sides of the aisle to pass it. Now, I don't know enough about politics to know that, you know, that could have been something to make me passively feel better about it while they knew the whole time that the House wasn't going to act on it. I don't know, but if it's been sitting in the House for this long and they've had this much time to contemplate it and it's still not on the calendar, then there's a political reason for it. That's my opinion. I can't think of any reason why anyone would not see the obviousness of it being the responsibility of the government to clean up their own nuclear waste that they created for the war effort. So I've tried to appeal to both Pallone and Upton regarding their moral responsibility, regarding how the Department of Energy, it's already been determined that they are responsible for this waste cradle to grave. So from the time that it was made until the time it's no longer around to hurt people, it's still the government's responsibility. So, for anyone who, you know, needs that information again, I'll be happy to repeat it, but
Please do. Please call
it's definitely
Chairman. Tell him Chairman Upton's phone number again.
Okay. Chairman Upton's phone number is 202-225-2927. And again, he's the majority leader of the Energy and Commerce Committee. And this is in regards to HB 4100.
That's
And that is to get the Westlake Landfill transferred to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers USRAP program. It's critical that that happen because the EPA does not have any experience. This is literally a precedent-setting issue regarding the fire next to the nuclear waste. So the EPA needs to employ every avenue that they can to control this. And instead, what they've done is pull more and more PR people into it. It's going in the wrong direction through the EPA's hands. They need to step aside and let USRAP take over. Also, there's been such a lack of accountability with the EPA. In 2012, their National Remedy Review Board put out a recommendation for Westlake Landfill. And to this day, that document is still not available to be available through the Freedom of Information Act. They
You're
won't
what?
sunshine that
What?
document.
Say that
In
again.
2000, sure. In 2012, the federal EPA performed what is called the National Remedy Review Board recommendation, the NRRB. So the EPA did the NRRB, and for the first time in the history of the EPA, they changed it from a review to a recommendation. And the only difference between a review and a recommendation is that a review can be sunshined and a recommendation cannot. So they have been suppressing this information from the public for the last 4 years. The federal government has already said what their opinion on what to do at the Westlake Landfill, and the EPA made it a legal impossibility to be able to for the public to secure the documents to see what the federal EPA said. So
who is entitled to see these documents? Who are the people entitled to see the documents?
No one. It's not sunshineable. Normally with documents, and after a period of time and under different proprietary instances, I guess, you can receive information. Now, the federal government also blacks out or blocks out portions of it so that you don't always get the information that you're looking for. But much of the information that has been found to date has been because people have put through Freedom of Information Act requests for documents that are official to this nuclear issue. And the one that the EPA is suppressing is this 2012 federal EPA review. And for 4 years now, we still haven't been able to see it. This is something that, normally when the EPA does a federal review of a site, it becomes available to the public because it's about their site, it's about their area. And for the first time in the history of the EPA, it was changed from a review to a recommendation. And
what does a recommendation mean, that they're going to tell the government this is what they should do?
The recommendation, since the public can't see the recommendation, I don't know. But what my belief is that it's exactly like a review, only it has the word recommendation on it, and they invented a rule that says, well, if people are entitled to see a review, we'll just make a rule that says they're not entitled to see a recommendation.
And who is entitled to see the recommendations? Only the EPA?
That's correct.
What about our elected officials? Are they entitled to see it?
I have absolutely no idea, but my understanding is it's an EPA private document. So I'm going to take a guess and say no, but certainly I do not know the internal workings of government.
Yeah, I cannot imagine the Oversight Committee of the EPA is not entitled to all the documents. Although, like the NRC, the Oversight Committee that oversees the NRC has made requests and documents are just not found. They can't find them. They don't know where they're at. They just don't give them up. They just say, we have no reason why. I mean, Barbara Boxer about split a gut about a year and a half ago with the NRC when they basically told her to her face, yes, you've requested these documents, and no, we're not ready to give them to you. And it'd been about a year and a half.
Unless you get
a military, she threatened to bring police into their office. And I don't know if she ever got the documents. Yeah. So it was like a pretty intense exchange. So this is a shocking, but this also tells us the risk. Like there must be something gigantic that they're afraid of people understanding how grave the risk is. They are afraid of massive evacuation, I think, or something. Because really, that's an outrage.
I'm sorry.
I'm just stunned. I mean, honestly, especially on Memorial Day, when I really believe that the issue in St. Louis is completely, it keeps World War II going. World War II has not ended until we honestly face what we created here. We're just causing more death and harm only on the American people.
It's something that the government needs to be responsible for. Frankly, I'm disappointed that more attention is not being, faced to this. Obviously, there is more to life than money. You can only have so much money, and then what more are you going to do with it? Now, I understand there's people listening to your show that'll say, hey, if you have extra, give me money. No, we don't live high on the hog. I live in a small home. We live below our means on purpose. And what I'm saying is there's these people, these billionaires, these people like the Wilkes brothers who, came from moderate or modest means and, lived in a small town in Texas, and they were bricklayers. And then they just so happened to have enough of foresight and capital to be able to start a trucking company and help out the fracking business. And so now, because of that money influence, now they are able to strongly influence the presidential election. This is the problem, is that we can't allow people that have no other influence other than money have so much to say about the politics of our country. This the our country is not a business where we create money for a few. It's a country that we need to create opportunity for all.
An opportunity for all. I mean, we have a preamble to our Constitution that says, for the good of the people. You know what I mean? We have a definition. The reason that the forefathers created this was so that we have a basis. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice. Very important. Establish justice. Ensure domestic tranquility, which means we're not going to fight amongst ourselves. Provide for the common defense. Promote the general welfare. That means take care of each other. And secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Do ordain it and establish this Constitution of the United States. That is the basis of our country. We take care of each other. This is why, even though I'm in Oregon, I live in the state, I accept the idea that I'm not, I've had people saying, don't say you're a citizen. No, I believe in our Constitution. We have a unique opportunity to create a form of government where we agree to take care of each other for justice, ensure domestic tranquility, the common defense, general welfare. We take care of each other. It is not a corporation. Unlike Reaganomics thinking and Bush, they came in going, I'm going to run this like a corporation. This is what you get when you run it like a corporation. The population being poisoned.
That's exactly right.
Such an outrage.
And it's up to each person who knows this message and understands this message and can hear us now talk about it. And it's up to you to pick up that phone and feel empowered and do what you can. Certainly, you know, some people are only capable of doing so many things, and maybe some people not so much at all, because there are people that are sick and hurt from this. Yeah. But if you're able-bodied, you need to help with this fight. This affects you. It affects your country, whether you live in St. Louis or not and you're listening to this. It requires care, like you said, of all people. Since this issue has come up, I've actually been fortunate enough to meet and connect with some people from Flint, Michigan, some people from Rocky Flats, Colorado, some people from other government devastated areas that deserve our attention and help. And it is only when we all come together as one cohesive group and push one another to be better, push one another to do right by one another, and push one another to love and care for each other, that is when we will succeed.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more, Wendy. Well, Wendy Lumetta, thank you for joining us again. We have about a minute left. I have to say, you have been a valuable addition to my life, and I venture to say a valuable addition to many of our listeners' lives. On this day, Memorial Day, we're just now getting our day started on the West Coast. I am going to be lighting a candle and praying for those who have gone before us and sacrificed, and even those who are living who have really given up a lot of their emotional stability and physical capabilities. And I am grateful for all their service, and I am grateful that we do live in a country where we still can speak out. So thank you for joining us, and you know what, we will continue with this issue in St. Louis until we get immediate remediation. I'm not willing to take the slow train. I'm going to keep putting the metal to the pedal. So put your courage feet on, you guys. Thank you, Wendy, for joining us. I hope to speak with you again soon. We'll talk with
Bless
you guys on Wednesday. Thank you.
I hope
Take
so
care.
Too. Thank you. Bye.